Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Last week, we took a closer look at London's elevated pedestrian walkways. This week, we turn our attention to the Westway, a stretch of elevated motorway built as part of an abandoned scheme to turn London into a motor city. Henry Rhys Sheridan reports.
A motorist navigating the alleyways, cul-de-sac and lanes of central London can expect to tear along at an invigorating average speed of 7.4 miles per hour. Given pause by yet another traffic jam, they could be forgiven for fantasising about an alternative, Americanised London, less hostile to the personal automobile. Well, there was a time when London's local government was hell-bent on making that dream a reality. In the 1960s, as car ownership in Britain skyrocketed, officials and city planners feared Carmageddon on the city's roads.
Thus came the introduction of the internal combustion engine, the foundation of the automobile industry. With numerous components working at high speeds, it calls for a great degree of efficiency in manufacture to generate a predetermined power and to be able to run for long periods on a small fuel consumption.
In response, they drew up an infrastructure plan, Soviet in its proportions. The London Ringways network was a system of four concentric motorway ring roads. They were to encircle the capital at varying distances from the city centre. The aim was to speed up traffic circulation and ease congestion. In spite of opposition from academics, the Treasury and the Department of Transport, the Greater London Council, or the GLC, pushed ahead with the plans. Construction of the innermost road, called Ringway 1, began in 1964. Constructing the motorway caused massive and immediate disruption to the residential areas that lay in its path. There was intense resistance among locals, and with good reason. Here's one of them describing life in the shadow of the works.
Well, it has frankly been hell. Just hell. We, in the last 3 months, well, first of all, we had 4 years of unremitting noise. And then in the last 3 months, they started a programme of night work, so that it meant that both the night shift workers and the day shift workers, nobody could get any sleep at all. Because at the moment, the lights from the motorway mean that nobody in these bedrooms get any sleep unless they draw their curtains tight and shut the windows tight. The vibrations from the traffic with the Metropolitan Railway as well mean that you have a continuous rumble. And what we fear most of all is that you'll get displacement.
In 1973, the Labour Party made large gains in the GLC elections opposing the Ringway scheme. That same year, the plans were scrapped. But that wasn't before one section of Ringway 1, linking North Kensington to Shepherd's Bush in West London, had already been completed. It included a piece of road the likes of which London had never seen before, a 3.5 mile long stretch of sweeping, elevated motorway called the Westway. Even this relatively small part of the planned ring road had led to the destruction of hundreds of homes and the cutting in half of tight-knit terraced communities. Where they used to be, beneath the elevated flyover, now lay 23 acres of derelict land. Littered with scrapped cars and debris, it was a landscape dystopian enough to earn a place in J.G. Ballard's imagination. The British writer used it as the setting for his 1974 novel Concrete Island. It's an update of the Robinson Crusoe tale, in which a wealthy architect is marooned after crashing his car off the motorway. Fortunately, years of local activism ensured the designation of this land for community use. In 1971, the North Kensington Amenity Trust assumed responsibility for it. Since then, the space beneath the Westway has become dense with enterprise and facilities for the local community. There are more than 3 acres of public green space, over 20 charities and non-profit organisations, 2 sports and fitness facilities, 48 light industrial units, 34 offices, 32 shops, and even a skate park. Nearly 50 years after its controversial inauguration, the Westway remains hotly contested. The Westway Trust, the successor to the North Kensington Amenity Trust, has plans to continue developing the estate beneath the flyover, including the famous Portobello Market area. But they've been met with opposition among some community members, who accuse them of orchestrating top-down gentrification. Meanwhile, on the motorway itself, a plan from former Mayor Boris Johnson to build a segregated cycle superhighway alongside the car lanes was scrapped by his successor, Sadiq Khan. To behold the Westway today is to get a glimpse into an alternative future that never was. The kind of structure millions of Londoners would be living in the shadow of had the Ringways network been constructed as planned. It's a piece of the capital's road system oddly out of time, a rupture in the membrane between today's London and a parallel motor metropolis combining the transport infrastructure of Los Angeles with the weather of England. I'll let you decide which version of the city you prefer.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And thanks to Henry Rhys Sheridan for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.